When the Cubs donated some old odds and ends, they didn't expect they'd be meeting new friends. Welcome back to Deep in Bear Country, a Berenstain Bearcast. I'm your host, Phil Gonzalez, and this week we're actually going to talk a little bit about last week. So if you missed last week, go back and listen to last week and then dive in with this week. Otherwise, you're going to be at a bit of a loss. Now, if you'll remember, last week we discussed the 1999, I believe, book, The Berenstain Bears Think of Those in Need. My guest and I talked about the representation of helping those in need that the Berenstains presented in the book, how Mama and Papa got the kids and everyone to clean house, and then they took all their old stuff to the old bear's home, to the children's hospital, and finally to the bear country equivalent of the Salvation Army, and how while what they did might have been fine, it presented a form of helping out that was very limited and very seat of your pants, kind of spur of the moment, and didn't actually address thinking of those in need. It was more about getting rid of your stuff. Now, I got some comments from listeners about the episode, some of which took exception to the way we talked about helping those in need and thinking of those in need. Some listeners thought that we were unduly harsh on people who just wanted to donate and help people out, that it was expecting way too much of people on a day-to-day basis, and that while what we said was very aspirational, not many people have that kind of time, even if they want to donate that kind of time, to fully commit to doing something on a regular basis. And so I went back and I actually re-listened to the episode, listened to what we said, and I can now clearly see where it came across that we were being extremely critical on people who have a way of helping that fits into their schedule, into their daily life, into what they can do. And it made me think of course, of the organizations that drive by and say, pick up old stuff from houses. Say, if you have anything to donate, let us know. Give us a call and we'll send people by to pick you up. What the Bears seem to be doing was very much in line with what organizations encourage people to do, which is get rid of their stuff by not throwing it away, but by donating it. And I can understand and totally sympathize with the fact that what it seemed like we were doing was criticizing the very idea of donating your used items to people who might need them. And looking back on what we were talking about, I can understand why it seemed like that. But I think what we were trying to criticize was the bears themselves, was the way the book presented what they were doing. First, it didn't show or even mention that Mama had any kind of great plan in mind. She simply decided, we're going to take this stuff to a place and drop it off there, whether they need it or not. And while she didn't say that either, that was kind of the implication of the book. And also, the book presented a concept of what people in need look like and are, and completely failed to follow through with that. And that was another big sticking point for us. It brought up an issue and then presented a way of dealing with that issue that was completely at odds with the issue they brought up. I attributed the way our episode was interpreted as completely on the fault side. Okay, that's not even a sentence. Completely on the side of fault. Wait, the fault falls completely on the side of myself. I should have been more aware of how excited I was getting talking to the guest, of how one-sided our presentation was, and how we failed to address the positive aspects of what the book presented. I do not at all fault my guest, who is very much an expert in her field and was simply following my lead. But I do apologize if I said things or implied things that made it seem like people who do go out of their way to donate their own items, to donate used things, to think of those in needs in that way, or in any way, some sort of people who need to be seen as at fault or less than or contributing to the problem. My big criticism is in the book itself, which doesn't present realistic alternatives to the issue of thinking in those in need. Like, if you read the book, it's very pat and very proud of itself and very smug in the way it presents what it's doing in a way that I find extraordinarily off-putting. And my guest, Joanna Lund, found extraordinarily off-putting. It's more in the way the book presented the notion of thinking of those in need than in the actual things the Bears did. If a family gets together all their stuff and donates it, that's awesome. That's amazing. And I totally respect that. The book was saying that you should just gather up anything you don't want and throw it at the first organization you pass by and just give it to them, whether or not they seem to be in it. It's hard for me to explain, but the tone of the book was one of my biggest issues. And the fact that it didn't address the actual thing it brought up. It mentioned families who are economically disadvantaged, and then we never saw any families who were economically disadvantaged. It brought up people who have less than the Bear family, and then we never saw anyone who had less than the Bear family. It took a weird detour into a children's hospital, which had little to do with thinking of those in need. Not that people in hospitals aren't those in need, but that's painting with a broad brush. And then it ended up at the Salvation Army, which, you know, if you want to donate your stuff to an organization like that, that's fine. But it just really rushed the ending and then became very much about not worrying about still wanting to accumulate more earthly goods. It was... In the past, we've discussed these message books, these big sort of big themed books, as tackling way, way too much in the time they've given themselves. And rather than narrowing the focus down to one event or one problem, it tries to cover like three or four problems or three or four solutions to a problem and doesn't get a chance to flesh any of them out. And when that happens, characterization goes by the wayside. We never get to meet any of these new characters. And we can be guaranteed that we're never going to see any of them again. And as far as I know, in the world of the Berenstain Bears, we never do see any of those characters again, unnamed though they might be. Now, Joanna and I discussed ways you could fix this issue. And one of the things we talked about was, what if instead of the Bears going to the old Bears home, the Bears going to the children's hospital, the Bears going here and it being Christmas and things with buying presents, they focused on one thing. Say they spent the whole book just at the old Bears home. Say it was more just about getting to know that community. Say it was more about the kids learning, you know, like, oh, here's a place that needs some stuff. And then, you know, we get to know our community members who might otherwise feel a little isolated. And we learn their names and we learn more about their personalities. And we realize that we're all part of a big community. And also, one of the things we brought up was that maybe you don't just give away the stuff you're tired of. Maybe you can also give away stuff that you still enjoy, but that you don't necessarily need around your house, or that there might be other people out there who enjoy it and have a greater need of it. This is all a long segue into the next portion of today's episode, which is the Berenstain Bears Think of Those in Need TV episode. Yes, this is the Nelvana episode that aired on PBS in America and on Treehouse in Canada, starring Michael Cera. This is an episode written by Brian Lazenby called The Berenstain Bears Think of Those in Need. It takes the book as its jumping off point, but as you probably gleaned from the opening poem, when the Cubs donated some old odds and ends, they didn't expect they'd be meeting new friends, which is completely different from the book's opening poem. This story goes in a completely different direction, or it goes in the direction that the book was initially pointing in but didn't go in, or it starts in a different place, ends up in a similar place, and then continues in that direction. It's way more focused, it's way more clear at its motivations, and it actually addresses some of the stuff Joanna and I were talking about in the last episode. I was super happy. I was watching it literally with my mouth hanging open. I was like, oh, they figured it out. They did it. This is a way better story. So it's available on YouTube. You can just type in Berenstain Bears Think of Those in Need, and there's a version of it on there. So you can watch it yourself if you want to watch it before you listen to me prattle on about it. But the general gist is this. Brother and sister have been tasked with cleaning their own room, and they are not cleaning their room, which if you're a parent, you are completely familiar with how this goes. They are up in their room. Sister is folding origami using an origami book of hers, and brother's just reading a book. And They're well aware they're supposed to be cleaning, but they're busy. They're distracted. Their parents keep yelling up at them to clean, and they're like, we are. And the sister's folding origami birds. Brother is reading Bearlock Holmes. And they're not doing any of their chores. And finally, Mama and Papa burst up into the room, and they're like, clean your room. So brother and sister do, but they end up, again, here's something I'm more than familiar with. They have more stuff than they can fit on their shelves or in their closet. They have tons of old books. They have multiple games, like they have like two checkerboards. They have puzzles that they've done once and don't intend to do again. Or they also have a puzzle that's of the ocean, and half of it is sea and half of it is sky. And they did it while they were on a terrible vacation. So they have bad memories associated with the puzzle. Plus, it's ridiculously difficult to do. And they're like, so they have all this stuff. They gather up all this stuff, books, puzzles, you name it. And brother says, let's take all this stuff. So first of all, they're like, sister's like, let's just put it up in the attic. And brother's like, you know what? Maybe we don't need this stuff at all. Like, I think the problem is we have too much stuff. We don't need to hang on to this. Let's take it to the Bears Who Care bin at the mall. And there's the first thing that the book didn't do. It established that there is a place in Bear Country that encourages you to take your old and gently used items. This is a bin, presumably at Bear Country Mall, that you can just put whatever you don't need, and then volunteers or whoever will sort through it and decide what stays and what goes and where it goes to. That's a great option. That is a great way of kicking this off. The Bears are aware that there is a Bears Who Care bin. It is the children's idea to donate it. And they come up with the idea that it's not just they have a bunch of stuff they don't want. It's that they have too much stuff. And this stuff is still good, but they need to make room in their room. It'll make their lives easier, but it'll also be cool to make someone else's life nicer. And there is an established community way of doing this, the Bears Who Care bin. So brother and sister load up their wagon, and they're taking it to the Bears Who Care bin, but they pass by what looks to be the old Bears home. It's the same design from the book. However, it is not called the Old Bears Home. It's called the Bears Retirement House, which, again, a little updated language. They get beckoned from the porch and realize that this is a place where they might be able to bring some of their stuff because they have a lot of puzzles and books. And these aren't little children's books. These are mystery novels that brother has read and doesn't want anymore. And so they bring their boxes up to the house, and they talk to the woman who runs the center, who says, yes, we would like this stuff. You can bring it on over there. So brother brings the boxes in, and while he does, sister gets distracted and meets one of the elders and starts teaching her how to, play one of the games. The elder's name is Mrs. McElder, because that's the way bear naming conventions go. But what's cool is, okay, so we already have established that sister, who is the more outgoing of the two cubs, runs off and starts introducing herself and teaching an elder how to play Dictionary Doodles, which is the Bear Country equivalent of Pictionary. I thought that was pretty rad. And Mrs. McElder and sister have hit it off, and brother is happy to have donated his stuff. They start heading home, and brother realizes that he accidentally donated a book of his that he was in the middle of reading, a Bearlock Holmes book. And he's like, oh no, I donated a book I didn't want to get rid of. So he and sister kind of talk about it. And he's like, and she's like, well, why don't you just go back to the Bears retirement home and just ask for it back? And he's like, I think I will. And she's like, wait a minute, wait for me. I want to talk to Mrs. McElder again. So they go back to the Bear retirement home. So this is their second visit. And while they're there, the two cubs sort of split off. First, they find an older bear on the like outdoor patio doing their ocean puzzle, and they help him solve it. And he complains bitterly about how hard the puzzle is. Brother asks if he's seen the Bearlock Holmes book, and he's like, I think it was in the box where I got this puzzle. So they go inside and they start digging through the books. While brother is looking for the Bearlock Holmes book, sister is off with Mrs. McElder again. She's showing her how to do origami. And brother begins a quest to find his Bearlock Holmes book. First, he finds a bear in his room. And this is – so you get to also see within the retirement community. You get to see inside some of the bears, like individual rooms. So there's bears who are out in the front of the house, like on the outside on the porch. doing various activities where some books have been set up. You have bears in the general meeting room doing puzzles, playing games, just socializing. And you have bears who are just in their rooms. So brother meets one guy who's fixing a clock. And he thinks the guy has his Bearlock Holmes book, but it's actually a clock repair manual. But brother doesn't realize that. He's like, can I take this? I think it's mine. And the bear's like, you need a clock repair manual? And he's like, oh, sorry. I thought it was my Bearlock Holmes. And the guy's like, wait. Oh, Bearlock Holmes, I think I saw Mrs. Perkins with it. So brother goes and finds Mrs. Perkins, who's trying to thread a needle. And she has the great line, darn it, they keep making these needle eyes smaller and smaller. And brother helps her thread a needle. And she's like, you know what? I think I left that Bearlock Holmes book out on the porch again. And so he goes back out to the front where he meets a bear named Grizzly Wilson, also known as Grizz. And Grizz has the Bearlock Holmes book, and he tells brother that he loved it when he was a cub. He would love to read it again, but his eyes, he can't read the small print anymore. It's too small for him. And brother's like, I'll read it to you. And so brother sits down, and they start reading and also commiserating over how awesome Bearlock Holmes is. They read actually just a little bit of the beginning. Watson approaches Bearlock's door, and Bearlock calls from inside like, hello, Dr. Watson. And Watson's like, confound it. How does he always know that I'm here? And you have a little Sherlock Holmesy moment. And brother and Grizz sort of share this, like, Sherlock Holmes is a great, great character. It's a great character. And then the show ends with brother and sister walking back to their house and talking about, you know, how awesome it was to meet the elders, getting to know them, and how they can't wait to see them again, how they're going to go back. And sister's like, and you got your book back. And brother's like, oh, no, I didn't actually take it back. I left it there. He's like, you know what, I think they'll enjoy it just as much as I would. And so we also have, say, okay, so what I love, though, is the end. So the very end is brother, he says something along the lines of, you know, it feels really good to give someone your extra stuff. And sister says, and it really feels good to give someone your extra time. And brother says, that's even better. And that's the end of the show. And so what we have here is an episode of The Berenstain Bears that completely fixed all the problems, almost all the problems that we had with the book, which is it narrowed its focus. It had those in need simply be the bears at the retirement home. It wasn't because they were in a lower income bracket. It wasn't because they had been fired or they were hungry. While those are, of course, completely legitimate things that bears or human beings might encounter in their day-to-day lives, the show realized that the scope of the episode was way too big to deal with something like that. Let's focus on these bears. Let's focus on the community building aspect of it, which is a major part of thinking of those in need. They also had it be the cubs' idea to donate their used items. It wasn't Mama Bear taking control and just telling the family what to do, and boy, oh boy, don't we feel good about this. It was brother and sister not even necessarily being like, let's go out and do something awesome today. Let's go be awesome, but let's just go take this to the Bears Who Care bin. It's an established aspect of their community. It is something you can find. And these things exist around your towns, places where you can donate clothes or toys. And it's easy. And as we discussed in the last episode, you don't have to think about it. And while that's not the end-all be-all of engaging with your community, it is something where you know the people you are giving the items to have asked for it and need it. So brother and sister are doing that. They encounter the retirement home on the off chance and are beckoned to the retirement home by the retirees. They also check with the person who runs the place to see if they actually need what they're donating. And that's another huge one that we're talking about. You can't just go and dump your stuff off somewhere. Call ahead. Or if not, because they didn't even think about this ahead of time, ask. Just go up and ask, do you need our stuff? The next one is they engage with the elders. They learn their names. And it doesn't feel like they're doing them a big favor. It feels like sister is naturally outgoing. She's gregarious. She loves meeting new people. This is simply sister meeting new people. And brother, being the shy one, being the one who's less likely to introduce himself to strangers, gets to meet people simply because he's trying to find his book. So we have two ways the cubs are meeting new people, engaging in their community, meeting elders, and it's all based on their personalities. They each find a way to do it. The other thing that gets addressed that we brought up last week is that You can donate stuff that's not just broken. In fact, you can donate stuff that's actually in good shape or that you actually still like. And Brother does that at the end. He donates his Grizzly, his Grizzlock Holmes book, or Bearlock, Grizz Bear. I don't know. They call that bear so many different things in this series. He donates his Bearlock Holmes book, even though it's still a book that he's into, because he's like, you know what? I got a lot of books. I got a lot of books at home, and I don't need to hold on to every single one of them. And the bears there, they really like it. So I'll leave it. And it's a little thing, but it's sort of an example of a greater thing, which is you can give beyond that which you were going to get rid of anyway. It's a great little example. And my favorite moment, though, is, of course, the end, where sister says you can give, you know, or brother says it feels good to give away some of your stuff. And sister says it feels even better to give your extra time. And brother agrees with her, because that's something that Joanna talked about last week, which is it's not just about giving money or giving stuff. It's about that direct engagement and how giving your time in situations like this is one of the greatest gifts of all. It's giving your skills. Sister Gate taught, she taught origami. Brother read to a bear, and they read to, and they interacted with them on equal footing. Like, they weren't condescending to them. They weren't doing it to feel better about themselves. They were doing it because it was just a cool thing to do. It was a nice thing to do, and it was a good way to spend their afternoon. And these bears had things to contribute, and it didn't fall into the whole, like, let me tell you stories about when I was a kid. It was just, they were just interacting as people, as peers, and as equals, members of the bear community. And I just really loved that. I really enjoyed the way this episode addressed the weirdness of the book. So I'm going to go back, and I'm going to amend something I said in the last episode. I think it would be cool for you, the dear listeners, to read The Berenstain Bears, Think of Those in Need. Go out, check it out from your library, get an ebook of it, read The Berenstain Bears, Think of Those in Need. And then watch the episode, The Berenstain Bears, Think of Those in Need, and see the deft hand they used to guide this janky little story into a very satisfying tale of cubs engaging with their community, because it's worth it. This is a great episode of the show. It's solid. You get to see brother and sister be themselves, be their characters, and you get to meet a bunch of the elders. You get to meet Mrs. McElder. You get to meet Mrs. Perkins. You get to meet Grizzly Grizz Wilson, and you get to hear them complain about a terrible puzzle, and you get to also see brother and sister slacking off while cleaning their rooms, which I can give you 100% guarantee is what is happening right now as I record in my house. My child is supposed to be doing something up in her room, and she might not actually be doing it. But that's it. That is The Berenstain Bears, Think of Those in Need, from Nelvana, from the PBS series Treehouse Direct. Find it on YouTube. Check it out. It is a solid episode of a pretty solid show. Coming up May 24th, I will be performing deep in Bear Country, One Man's Journey into the World of the Berenstain Bears, or whatever my subtitle is going to be, at Moon Palace Books here in the Twin Cities. Check it out. I will be posting stuff online. I'll be throwing together some images, throwing together more stuff. It is coming up on me. I am working on it. I promise. I'm working very hard on my one-person show about the Berenstain Bears and my relationship to this crazy little book series. So find me at BstainBearcast on Twitter, at BerensteinBearcast.wordpress.com. You can write to me if you want at BerensteinBearcast@gmail.com, or go to my Patreon site. Throw a few bucks my way. Every once in a while, I put up some Patreon-only episodes. Those come out every now and then, and if you're a patron, you'll be the only person who gets any access to them, because they're the only ones who are gonna ever hear any of that extra goodness. Otherwise, thank you so much for listening. Thank you for listening to this little like addendum to last week, but also review of the TV show, and I will see you all next time deep in Bear Country.